First of all, you see this right here?
It's the Mac Attack.
Bryant to Shaq.
Help delivering to. Oh!
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell.
I built this. This was my lock-in. Let me tell you, there was never, ever a misunderstanding. You just thought it was a misunderstanding because you like gossip. Yeah. Don't listen to gossip. We won 3 out of 4.
Vegas, it's me, Shaquille O'Neal. You're listening to my guy, Big Mac, Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game. Don't change the dial.
Yeah, let's go, Las Vegas, here on this Friday. We are out at the Thomas and Mac for the next hour. Summer League is wrapping up. And listen, this is a very special edition of the Mac Attack. Yesterday, I kind of teased the, you know, the information. I didn't want to jinx it, right? To a certain individual that may have been stopping by the show. And when you have this individual potentially showing up, you don't want to jinx it for understandable reasons. And that individual, the one and only Shaquille O'Neal. I have no idea why this guy agreed to come on my show, but he did. And since he did, you're going to hear from him. Now, full disclosure, as we are located out here between section, 115 and 114 at the Thomas and Mac, Shaq is not actually here. So, I mean, feel free to come by and say hello after 3 o'clock after I'm done with my show. But don't come down here expecting to find Shaq. Shaq was actually at the studio last night. He was doing his podcast, which is on Podcast One. That's dropping every Mondays. So I figured, hey, Shaq's in the building. I heard he was going to be around. Let's see if he wants to stop by. Not only did he stop by, when you hear from Shaq here coming up in a couple minutes, because we're going to get to this conversation early, he stayed around for about 15, 20 minutes, which for me, Nick, you know this. When we originally got him, did we not ask him, hey, Shaq, can you give us a few minutes? He goes, I can give you 5. The man didn't just give us 5, Nick. He gave us 17.
Yeah, I was thinking about that later. I was just like, you know, what are excuses that super awesome, rich, popular people give? And, you know, like, I got to hop on a plane is one of them. I mean, most people can say that. I got to hop on a plane. Sure. But for people like Shaq, it's like, yeah, no, he probably does.
He probably does. And the cool thing about this conversation, I put a little teaser out last night, but we got Shaq literally, I think, about 5 minutes after the news came down that Russell Westbrook had been traded to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul and a bunch of first-round picks. So we're going to hear from that reaction. We're going to hear his thoughts on Zion. We're going to hear his thoughts on modern-day hip-hop and what he thought about the beef between Dame Lillard and Marvin Bagley. There is a ton of good stuff coming up with Shaquille O'Neal. But listen, I mentioned it. We're down here at Summer League. Summer League is wrapping up. The championship game is Monday. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't come down for that first day, right, that was last Friday, that Zion Mania, where, you know, all the rookies are going to be playing and it's going to be that showcase, this final weekend is my favorite weekend because coming up here in a very short moment, really, the consolation games are underway, right? But this is the first year that they're doing an 8-team final tournament. So the top 8 teams are going to start playing tomorrow through Monday, which will be the championship game. Sunday's going to be the semifinals, just 2 games on Sunday. But the real draw here on Saturday, you're going to have 4 quarterfinal games. So you can come down here and see the top 8 teams get it on at Thomas and Mac for general admission price, $35. You come down here, that gets you in for every single game. And here's also the cool thing. I mentioned that Saturday, now we got the Lakers and Golden State Warriors playing, throwing down right now on the inside in Thomas and Mac, which is a good game. But the game that I'm most looking forward to, especially when you consider what's just happened in the last, well, in one instance, the last week, but in the last 24 hours with the Memphis Grizzlies, Grayson Allen getting ejected from a game, television crews going nuts on him. Angel Tech over here giving a thumbs down. Not a Grayson Allen fan, Angel? No? Okay. Well, I don't think you're in the minority with that. I think a lot of people would agree. But the flip side of that is on Saturday, Memphis is going to be playing, as I mentioned, Grayson Allen. They're the 8 seed. They're going to be playing the number 1 seed, Boston Celtics, and they're going to be doing that with the one and only Taco Fall. This guy has taken Summer League by storm. He is shooting at a 76% clip. So I don't know if it's too early to judge the juggernauts meeting down on Saturday, but Grayson Allen, Taco Fall, the number 8 seed, Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Boston Celtics, the number 1 seed. That's a great day games. You got the number 5 Heat against number 4 Pelicans, the number 7 Nets versus the number 2 Pistons, and the number 6 Dallas Mavericks versus the number 3 Minnesota Timberwolves. So the competition really ramps up tomorrow on Saturday when you can come in and take in all those quarterfinal games. As I mentioned, tickets are $35, and you can get them in a variety of ways. You can go out to UNLVtickets.com to get them. You can go to NBAtickets.com to get them, or you can call 702-739-FANS. Or if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, just walk right up to the box office. Take care of it then. But as I said, we have Shaquille O'Neal on the show today. I don't want to waste time. I want to get right to it right now. Not the interview, but I do want to get to the opening round. Let's hit it, Nick.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Now, we're going to hear Shaquille O'Neal's thoughts on this Russell Westbrook-Chris Paul trade coming up here in a matter of minutes, so make sure to stick around for that. We are not going to wait too long. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back immediately with the Shaquille O'Neal conversation. As I mentioned, about 20 minutes and a wide-ranging interview. Lots of good stuff with Shaq. Really exciting to talk to him, and you're going to hear in this interview. I lead the interview off by showing him a photo that I had to text my mom. The photo's back in Indiana. That's where I grew up. 1993, I was a little Shaq fan. I was 10 years old, was the first guy that I really remember being drafted and having that hysteria. So what did I do? I wrote a letter to his fan club. And you know how it is. Like, you know, you write a letter to a fan club requesting an autograph so often, you don't get anything back. Maybe you get a stamp, you get a lithograph. You know what I'm saying? Like one of those, you know, printed autographs. Well, it turns out I got back an autograph that said to Ryan Shaquille O'Neal in gold pen. Now, Angel, I know, it's awesome, right? I'm looking, it's very cool. But here's the thing. You know, the 90s, and you know, big-time celebrities, there's that whole autograph memorabilia scandal, and then sometimes the big-time guys, they don't have time to sign, so they have a stamp, or they do it that way, right? So, listen, time was valuable with Shaquille O'Neal, so I had my mom send me that picture of that autograph, because it's still back in Indiana, and I got Shaq to verify it. So, I really used this time wisely with Shaquille O'Neal. But one of the things that we did talk about with Shaq, which was very exciting, what obviously wasn't planned that way, is we got to be the first to ask him about this Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul trade. Now, on the surface, let's just get into it. My knee-jerk reactions from what I saw. Obviously, it's shocking. It's not shocking that Russell Westbrook has been moved. I think it became pretty clear at a certain point that that was going to be an inevitability of this offseason. Obviously, once Paul George got shipped off, there's only so much Oklahoma City can do. And Russell Westbrook has that insane max contract because he was originally with Oklahoma City. He got the dividends of that. He is being paid handsomely. So we knew he was going to move. We had heard rumblings that Houston potentially could be a landing spot. Well, the deal's done. And it is for Chris Paul. Now, there had been reports coming out of Houston that Chris Paul and James Harden didn't get along. We know that. Right? I don't know how true that is. I'm just going to give you my thoughts on this real quickly. I think that Russell Westbrook has a bad rap. I think that he's had a bad rap throughout the history of his time in the league. And there's a myriad of issues what would play into that, right? Dog whistling, comments, you know, selfishness, stuff like that. Emotional, not a team player, selfish. You know, the triple-double king, right? But I'll use a story from what I saw last night. Someone tweeted out, I don't have the Twitter account in front of me right now, but they tweeted out photos of Russell Westbrook immediately. I'm talking immediately after finding out he had been traded. He was at a local bar in Oklahoma City, and he was going from table to table taking pictures with all of the fans. I think Russell Westbrook gets labeled unfairly for having a personality, for having thoughts of his own, right? I think he gets labeled unfairly because he puts himself out there. That's my read on Russell Westbrook. I could get more into it. I don't really need to. We got Shaquille O'Neal coming up in a second. He's going to give you his thoughts, right? But then I look at James Harden. Now, I understand James Harden and Russell Westbrook played together. And we asked Shaq about that. I asked Shaq. Angel over here at Tech, he was like, man, you should have backed him up. You should have pushed him on it. Because I asked Shaq about the – and you're going to hear from it. And he said, I kind of questioned him. Well, wasn't that the fact that it was they were younger and maybe they were more inexperienced? And he shut down that down pretty quickly. Now, I'm going to give a little more credence to it. I think there can be something said for the fact that got Shaq on the mind, obviously. The fact that Harden and Westbrook played together when they were younger. And, obviously, Kevin Durant. You learn a lot from that. Look at Kyrie Irving, right? Kyrie Irving had said, essentially, hey, I had to call LeBron James and apologize because I said I wanted my own team and I had no hard that stuff actually was. So we've seen this before. People can grow and they can mature and they can, you know, be a different version of themselves that they were in their early 20s. But this is really interesting to me because James Harden, now I don't know a lot from James. I'm just telling you the read that I have on these two individuals. They could coexist and it could be a great meshing. They could be another NBA Jam duo that you can throw in there and they could reign supreme in the West. I have no idea. But Harden, I'm going to tell you this. If I'm a player, I would rather play for Russell Westbrook. I would rather play with Russell Westbrook. I would rather play for Russell Westbrook. I don't know where James Harden lies. James Harden is kind of like that Kawhi Leonard. He's very low energy. He doesn't seem to have much of a personality. I don't know where he stands on a lot. I can't say I necessarily trust him. I'd rather have an emotional guy who wears his heart on his sleeve, who I know what I'm getting, rather than a James Harden. James Harden pushes out this persona that he's easy to get along with, that he's this leader. I mean, he's a great scorer. There are all these things that you can throw into it, but I can't say I necessarily buy it. Because where there's smoke, there's fire. Seems like potentially he had difficulty getting along in Oklahoma City. The same thing can be said in Houston. I don't know how it's going to play out. There's obviously a lot here to dissect. But one thing you can't deny is it does shift the power on some level in the Western Conference. Not that Oklahoma City was a juggernaut. That's not the case. But I'll tell you this. I like Russell Westbrook and James Harden a lot more than I like James Harden and Chris Paul. And I don't know how much Chris Paul has left. It sounds like neither do the Oklahoma City Thunder, because a report came out just about 2 hours ago. Expectations around Oklahoma City Thunder do not expect Chris Paul to play a single game in a Thunder jersey. They're looking at shipping him off. So, I mean, look at it for what it is. That's not good. I mean, he has a huge contract, injury concerns, all those things. I understand that. But there are also personality issues or concerns on some level. Let's take the reality of this. Someone got had by that fake story that there was a problem that Chris Paul was making fun of James Harden because of his man boobs, right? That was fake news, apparently. Well, it turns out it actually wasn't. There was actually video of it, at least, that showed Chris Paul was, like, cupping James Harden's chest in front of UFC heavyweight Francis Ngannou. This was months ago. But it didn't seem like James Harden liked that. Now, I get it. You're an MVP. And you got a guy making fun of your chest when you're one of the greatest scorers of a generation. I get it. So if that is true, that's a Chris Paul issue. And if it is true, I guarantee you other players probably don't like the idea of him landing on their team. Oklahoma certainly, as it seems, does not either. All right, we are going to put a plug on that, and we are going to get what you have all been waiting for, really what I have been waiting for. Listen, I have had I just want to say this real quickly, because I don't talk about this stuff very often, but I'm very fortunate to do the job that I do, right? I've had a lot of cool conversations and a lot of cool experiences. I've got to interview people like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Jerry Rice. I do a weekly show on Sirius with Misha Tate. All that is awesome. But what Shaquille O'Neal means to me, I'm just trying to humanize this a little bit. I'm talking about like my first sports hero, like him and Michael Jordan, but he was this phenom. To have this man come on my show and to spend almost 20 minutes with me dissecting, and Nick got in there. Now, hey, you're actually going to hear in this interview, Shaq calls me sensitive. Calls Nick hardcore, Angel. Can you believe that? Calls me sensitive.
Dude, really? I am so bummed. So bummed. I could have had the break of a lifetime. He could have brought me onto his podcast to be his voiceover guy. But I didn't have my chops ready to go at that moment. I'm going to blame it on the fact that I just didn't have my headphones and I wasn't hearing my own voice. But I was so disappointed in the fact that Shaq was like, okay, let's hear what you got. And then I failed, apparently.
You totally failed.
Would have been awesome. You'd have been like, dude, that's Nick, my former producer. Now he's Shaq's producer. Or he's his voice guy.
Yep. Well, you're just going to be stuck with me, buddy.
Now I'm with you.
Here on the Mac Attack in Purgatory for the rest of your life. All right, buddy, we are going to put a plug on it. We're going to head on to break. When we come back, Shaquille O'Neal coming up next on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Right now, I am very pleased to welcome one of the greatest basketball players to ever touch hardwood. You may know him as the Big Aristotle. You may know him as Superman. You may know him as Diesel, or one name.
I need a favor from you.
Shaq, what's the favor you need? Anything you need. What do you need?
That voice guy, is he here?
The voice guy? Yeah, we could do something. What you need?
No, is he here now? Because I always wanted to meet a sexy voice guy. That was awesome.
Listen to Nick. Nick's got a voice.
All right, let me hear an intro.
Give him an intro.
Give me something nice.
You might know this man as Shaq Diesel.
No, immediately shut down.
You know, I need one of those guys. This is the Mac. You like
this? This is the Mac Attack.
Yeah, that, no, sorry. This
well,
not
you
me.
Know, right. I'm kind of a big deal, Shaquille. I didn't know if you knew that.
I know who you are, Mac Attack.
Listen, I know time is precious, right? We only got a few minutes. I'm very happy to have you on the show. Summer League is in full effect, so I'm going to use this time wisely. I texted my mom when I found out I might be talking to you. 1992, yes. I'm a big Shaquille O'Neal fan. I'm 9 years old. I joined the fan club. I send out a request to your fan club for an autograph. Now, it comes back to me. I'm coming over to your side.
Yep.
It's very important. I need you to tell me if this autograph is real. I need an autograph authentication from Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm going to show you. That right there was my first autograph when I used to do all the letters. So
okay.
S-H-A, the Q, bring the Q to an N-E-A-A-L 32.
Yo, that looks real to me. I think I got an authentic rookie year.
So then, after that, because I got tired of writing all the letters, now my autograph is this. S-H, forget the A, still got the Q, loop it to an O. And forget the E, the A, 34. But yeah, that's my.
There you go.
Because that was my parents' job, and when I came to Orlando,
yeah,
I was like, you know what? I still need you guys. I'm 19. Dad was in the military. I said, quit. I said, I can't quit. I get a discharge. I said, well, how much you making? I said, I'm about to pay you more than that. He quit. He got discharged. My mom. So I brought them in. And they were like, we don't want to just take your money. We want to do something. So this was before the internet and all that stuff.
Right, right.
I said, so we're going to start a fan club. I'm going to come to the house for dinner once a week. Then after that, we're just going to sit in the room, autographs, pictures, posters. So that was my first job for my parents.
Well, look at that. Now you're sitting here. Yeah. Got one of your original fan club members interviewing you.
I appreciate that.
You got Summer League going on. All right, listen. The news just came down within the last few hours. Pretty big trade in the NBA. I wanted to get your thoughts. Russell Westbrook getting traded. Pretty much, I mean, there's some picks involved, right? But Russell Westbrook lands in Houston. Chris Paul going to Oklahoma City. How do you think this is all going to shake out?
Are you married?
I am.
All right, because I don't want to get you in trouble. You married?
Well, I'm not going to get in trouble.
No, you're getting in trouble. I don't want to be disrespectful to your beautiful wife.
Okay.
I'm not married.
Okay.
Let's just say I dated somebody in 1995, and it didn't work out.
Okay.
2018. You think it's going to work out? What's the odds? Odds are 50-50.
Yeah.
I don't like 50-50 odds. I like good odds. Good odds such as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Good odds such as KD and Kyrie Irving.
When he's healthy.
These odds, I don't know.
Yeah.
James loves the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook loves the ball. Chris Paul and James reportedly had a beef about, you know, Harden holding the ball too much. I don't know. I don't care. But if these two people relationship didn't work out before, because remember they had all three guys on the team at once,
right
KD,
now they were younger, do you think?
Oh,
you know,
stop it.
No,
younger, smarter,
okay.
I don't stop it. KD,
Tiger doesn't change his stripes,
yeah,
apparently,
yeah,
is
exactly
what you're saying.
So
yeah.
They had Harden, yeah. Westbrook, but everybody's scrambling now. Everybody's putting these teams together. Look, it all looks good on paper, but the things you got to worry about is chemistry and injuries. So I'm actually looking forward to next year. I can't wait.
Well, it feels like parity has returned. It feels like, I mean, I grew up on NBA Jam, right? You got like two really good players you pick in the game. That's kind of what it feels like again. Like we got two good players on every team. It feels kind of wide open. It feels exciting.
Well, it feels exciting, especially in the West.
Yeah.
But hey, you still got to go out and play, and you still got to stop people, and you still got to. I still like Golden State because they still got their core guys, and their core guys are happy. They're going to add the pieces in. And don't matter who you put together, if you don't play that style of basketball, team basketball, you're not going to win. You can win some games, but I don't want to win games. I want to win rings.
Now, let me ask you this.
Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no,
if
good.
I win 50, 60 games and don't win a championship, he's my witness. I'm tearing my house up. When I get home after we losing a round, I'm breaking everything in the house. Excuse my French. Hope we don't get in trouble.
That's okay. We're playing it tomorrow, so it works out well.
I don't want to just be putting pieces together just to win games. I'm trying to win championships.
No, I feel you. So I look at the Paul George deal, right, and like kind of the narrative around the NBA right now is like player control, right? The power in the hands of the player.
Players have always had control.
You think they're realizing it more?
No, it's not about realizing. Like, we don't have all this social media and everybody all in the business.
Okay.
If you don't think I control everything I did, you're wrong.
Oh, that actually, I have a rundown here with plenty of questions I was going to ask you about the social media age. And how do you think you would have, you know, dealt era.
I'd have been like Kawhi.
Just like nothing, just robotic?
No, yeah, because to me, social media is to market yourself, not to show off. Like, my social media, because when I first got it, I was like everybody else. I did this. I'm in Vegas. My mom was like, stop showing off. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hardworking people like you guys that don't have anything. I don't want to say I don't have anything, but just showing off. Like, don't show off.
Sure, so, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So mine is 70% to make you laugh.
There
right?
you go.
15% to just, you know, inspire you. And then, like, you know, another 15%, whatever I'm selling, I'll show you. So me, if I'm doing business with business people, that's going to be behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Okay, I want 4 years, $200 million. You don't want to do that? Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Laker, Miss Jeannie Buss Lakers, I want $200 million 4 years. Oh, we don't know. We can give you $165. So I'm doing business like that. I'm not going to be, I want this, I want that. That's not how you do business. I like how Kawhi did it. And so I'll give you an announcement around the 4th. And then it's your job to speculate,
right,
create show, marketing, boom. And then I'll be listening and watching.
Well, I was going to say, you could plant seeds and find out who is close to you and who you can trust, right?
But I wouldn't. It's just now with all this social media going, everybody this and everybody that. Everybody thought he was going to the Lakers. I heard him in the Lakers so much, I thought, and then you heard people on ESPN, I'm hearing word from my boy, it's 99% that he's, shut the hell up, you don't know what you're talking about.
We're here with Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq, I do want to ask you about this. You kind of talked about coming into the league, and I was watching, it was around draft night, and they played a clip of you on draft night, and I couldn't help but kind of recognize the change. Now, you were always Shaq, you were always the, you know, you had the charisma, you had the smile, but in that interview, it was draft night. You know, you just got drafted by the Magic. It felt like a little innocent, like you were still young, right? It felt like you still recognized your place as a rookie. And I think about Zion Williamson. I get that same kind of vibe from him. I think down the road he could have that Shaq charisma, that Shaq brand, right? My question to you was, when did that change for you? When did it feel like your league, when you were no longer a rookie and you kind of owned everything?
I want him to focus on being Zion. Don't focus on being anybody else. You'll never be.
No, I don't want him to be you. I'm just kind of thinking,
No. But I grew up kind of weird.
How so?
Always on punishment.
Okay.
Father was a drill sergeant, didn't play, but I watched karate movies. And I'd just be watching, But basically in every karate movie, you see a guy start from the bottom, train, boom, 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 and then he got to beat the master.
Right.
So that's why I created Shaq Fu.
That's what's up.
That was my mentality. So, okay, I'm in. I'm a young guy, but there's Master Barkley, Master Jordan, Master David, like all these guys are masters. I'm taking them out. Slowly but surely. I'm not going to do it this year, but they're going to know my name. Oh, Shaq Fu. He's a great fighter. Like, so I was always in that mentality. If he has that mentality, the I don't care, LeBron and all that, and he goes by that, he'll be a great player. Like me, I was going to respect you, but I was also trying to take your head off too. So that's what I say, like when me growing up, I was weird because that was the only thing they had, especially on Saturdays when I was allowed to watch TV, was Kung Fu Theater.
So you weren't allowed to watch TV like during the week?
No, Monday through Friday I couldn't watch TV, and Saturday I couldn't just sit in the room. I had to do chores. So I would have to get up at 5 and cut grass and rake leaves. Mm-hmm. And I always try to get done by 12, because from 12 to 2, Kung Fu Theater. And I'd just be sitting in my room because my father would bring the TV in. Put it on the floor.
So we're not even talking like Bruce Lee. We're talking like Shaolin. We're talking like Wu-Tang. We're talking old school Kung Fu.
So
nice.
When I got in the league, I was like, you know what? Michael Jordan is the top guy now.
Right.
I got to take him out. And I win so much money on this question. Who's the last guy to beat Michael Jordan in the playoffs? Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember when he left and came back?
Yeah.
And we beat him and we went to the finals versus the Rockets?
Yeah, 97. Absolutely. That's right.
Listen, I won over $100,000 this question. Big time gamblers. I'll pull it out.
Yeah, because I think immediately everyone goes to the Wizards. Yeah.
I bet you $1,000 right now. And I win money all the time. So I wish all these guys well.
Yeah.
I just, you know, want them. Because, look, when you're young and you want to get to this point, now you're at this point. Now, you still got work to do.
Well, the hard work begins now, right?
Because what Zion also needs to understand is whoever they is, I never cared about that, but whoever they is, they love you, then they hate you.
Yeah.
Like, I see ESPN, who helped build Zion up. Mm-hmm. I seen the day they're talking about his weight. Why are you doing that to the kid?
Especially, come like, on. 3 weeks after dude was
drafted. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, really?
Right.
A couple weeks ago, he's the number one pick, and you're interviewing like so, but they have to be ready for that. And I'm always ready for that because this is my older brother. He used to beat me up, and my father used to beat me up. And ain't nothing you can say or do to hurt my feelings. So I just hope he's...
I was going to say, when were you not able to beat him up anymore?
Well, we don't fight anymore. Yeah, we don't really fight anymore.
All right, so let me ask you this. I do get that vibe from Zion that he is trying to be the first Zion. Just how good can this kid be? Not just on the basketball court, but off it. You know, I think there are only a few people you can draw those comparisons with, right? The Shaqs, the LeBrons. He feels kind of like one of them.
I've never really seen him play a full game.
Okay.
And sometimes, because I am the Shaq, I have to be careful how I analyze and critique players.
Sure.
I don't know him yet. I have to meet him first and see what type of guy he is. Because when I was with Phil Jackson, what I learned is you can't treat everybody the same. Like, I'm looking at him, this kid's hardcore. I could tell. So if we had a problem with the radio show, I could probably give it to him. He's a professional. He'll dangle it, and we'd still be cool.
No question.
You look kind of a little sensitive. You look like you'll get upset.
Really?
But hold on. I'm sensitive, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to look at people and understand them and, you know, see how they are. So I don't want to be like, he needs to do this, he needs to do that. Mm-hmm. Because I know he's a fan of mine, I don't want him to think I'm hating.
Words carry weight.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm going to sit back, wait a year, watch his game, and then I'm going to call him first and be like, hey, man, you need to do this and do that. So, of course, when I get on TNT, I'm going to have to do my job. But I don't want to critique him this early because it's his first year, and, you know, he still has a lot to learn.
There you go. So we're going to end on this. I know you're in Vegas. You're doing a lot of different things. I know you're got a ton of partnerships. I love your Big Chicken. We were actually talking about it in the break room.
Yes.
I'm not even BSing. They got sauce pumps.
Yep.
So no matter how many sauces you like, you can take as much as you want, right? They got the cane sugar soda.
Yes, they do.
You got all the good, you know, no hormones chicken. Like, it's legit. It is really, really good. Now, I know you're doing that. You're doing things with Epson. I mean, you got the General. I know you're always with the General, right? But one thing that you've been doing a lot recently is DJing. And I went to your Twitter. I saw you were out at Red Rock. Like, dude, like real, legit shows with a fervent fan base. It's got to feel good to transition on some level into this next chapter.
It's my game 7.
I love it.
As a guy that's been an athlete, athletes, we flow on adrenaline. Like, you can train, you can do all that.
All right.
Doesn't matter. Trust me. When you look at a person and they're rooting for you, down one and they're rooting for you, that gets you going. Like me, when I was playing, I used to look for kids and their fathers. Because my dad took me to a game one day after I got off punishment, Madison Square Garden, we're sitting way up top. Dr. J goes baseline, throws it down, the whole place went crazy.
And you still remember.
Yeah, so when I'm having a terrible game or whatever, miss a couple free throws, like I see a kid and they be like, come on, Chad. But, oh, he believes in me. Time to tuck that. So for me, when I'm out there with 7,000 kids and they're jamming up and down, it's my responsibility to, when I get the ball, give them a great play. So, because I don't make any money DJing. It ain't about DJing. It's about just going out there and having kids jump up and down. Also, as a father, when your kids are with me hour and a half, they safe.
Yeah.
We jamming. We having a good time.
You see something going on in the crowd, you call it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I
come out, we slam dance, we jump up and down, we take pictures. It's about having fun. It's about a good time. So what people also don't understand, I've been DJing since 88.
Mm-hmm.
In this world that we live in, if you don't see a person do something and they finally jump out and do it, you think that, oh, he's just I've been DJing since 88.
Capitalizing on a fad or whatever it may be, right?
Listen, I'm not capitalizing on this fad.
No.
Trust me. I don't even make $5,000 a show.
That's wild.
That's what I was also going to say is we talked about you and the Fushnickens
not too
long ago.
What's up, Doc?
And all these years, I didn't know the lyrics. I thought you said
Kerry Rock.
Yeah.
So that's just funny that we now finally have the man in studio, and I can tell him straight to his face that all these years I was loving that Fushnickens song.
But you just didn't know the lyrics. Now, that's going to bring me on my final question. Marvin Bagley Jr., Dame Lillard, they traded diss tracks. Did you get to listen to those? And listen, we talk about Fushnickens. You are the godfather of, you are the first real athlete to go to Wax, to go to CD, to show people that athletes can spit. Granted, it was 25 years ago, but you really were the first. What did you think about that back and forth of those beef tracks?
There are certain categories in life you should let the people decide.
Okay.
I don't. That actually sound good. I wish them well. Look, I've been successful for a long time. I don't need to get my rocks off by saying I'm the best NBA spitter ever. Let the people decide.
There you go.
So, you know, who's the best player? Let the people decide. I don't need to say it. Who's the best big man? Who's the best radio? Who had the best? We'll let the people decide. I just, you know, there's two guys. I understand where they're coming from because for most of us, it all comes from the same place. Yeah. On the way to the gym or working out, we jamming. We jamming, whatever. White boy classics, fucking, black rap, whatever. Get to the gym, we balling out. Boom, boom, on the way back home, it's music. So we all love music. It all comes from the same place. I heard it. It actually sounded pretty good. But I'm not going to say he's this and he's that. That's not me for the side.
All right.
We'll let the people decide.
Who's your favorite current MC today? Kendrick, who you got?
And then listen, I love all these guys. Yeah. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings.
It's
a long list.
There you
go. And then the great thing about music, see, when I was coming up, it was mostly East Coast, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I can remember when I was in San Antonio, Texas, I was dating this girl. She lives here now. I'm not going to say her name because she's married. She put me in the car and we heard DJ Quick. I'm like, who is this?
Those mixtapes, right?
I'm like, whoa, who's, right? So now I'm there. And then living in Texas, Ghetto Boys. I'm like, yeah, I never, like, it's just beautiful. And then going to Baton Rouge, Cash Money Millionaires and Master P.
Yep.
I love music. And then, you know, going to, because listen, I went to school on a military basis, brother, Spanish, white guy. So at all the parties, I heard all the white guy class. And I'm like, this music is okay. I see your true color. So I love music, and I love what they, like, I bought 10 albums yesterday without even going nowhere. That you know, that's just the beauty of music and how it goes. So I don't want to say I have a favorite. I like all type of music, but when I want to get into hard music, Nightmare, you know, all the dubstep, you know, the bass music, I'm coming out with a new artist, Dubstep Jesus. You want to hear about him.
There you go. Keep an eye out for Dubstep Jesus. Yep. One and only, the big Aristotle, Superman, Diesel, Shaquille
Thanks
O'Neal.
Thanks for having us, and love you guys, and good luck with your show.
Man, thank you. Really appreciate it. Shaquille O'Neal.
And I'm sorry I farted in your room earlier.
It's okay.
I apologize.
We'll deal with it.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Man, Shaquille O'Neal. That was last night. You heard it all there. This is a man that not only, I mean, his accolades are ridiculous. The finals MVPs, the 15 All-Stars, the scoring titles, the championships. Listen, we all know the accolades, but this is also a man who did a song with Notorious B.I.G. Like, I can't stress that enough. You can look it up, kids. If I'm giving you a history lesson here, Can't Stop the Rain. That was an actual song. Shaquille O'Neal did a song with Notorious B.I.G. That man, for whatever reason, was in our studio last night and decided to have a conversation with us. So got to give a big tip of the cap to Shaquille O'Neal. And Nick, I mean, for nothing else, I know you didn't get your plug. You're not Shaq's voiceover guy. You're not leaving Las Vegas anytime soon. But you did get the privilege of Shaquille O'Neal calling you hardcore.
Yeah, I was a little surprised because, you know, you're with the beard, and you're the beard is usually the more intimidating factor, but apparently he wasn't intimidated by your beard.
No, I think I showed weakness. I think when I talked to him about, asked him about the chemistry of Harden and Westbrook when they were younger, and he was like, oh, stop that. And I folded.
Yeah, well, you talked, and I just didn't. So somebody who doesn't talk is, you know what I mean? You got to be careful about the quiet ones, right?
Right, absolutely. And, hey, I'm going to get more to this Shaq conversation, but I should mention, as we're sitting out here at Summer League at the Thomas & Mack, tomorrow, 24 hours from now, from 6 to 9 o'clock, down at GameWorks off of Town Square. We're not in New York. Kind of know that, right? So from 6 to 9 tomorrow at GameWorks down at Town Square in their eSports Lounge, I'm going to be there. Lotus Broadcasting is going to be there. Tyler Bischoff from ESPN is there. We're going to have some of our hosts from Comp and Point going to be there. We're going to have some NBA players. Not Shaq. Shaq has left town. Not going to be promising that. But you know what we are going to have? We're going to have some serious giveaways. We got potentially some really cool autographs to give away. And if you come down, here's one autograph that we're going to be giving away. If you come down to GameWorks tomorrow for the Summer League party that we're doing, Lotus Broadcasting, right? I'm going to be down there. All the analysts and your favorite hosts are going to be down there. I'm going to be playing people in NHL 2019. If you beat me, okay? If you beat me in NHL 19, you are going to get a signed Sugar Ray Leonard boxing glove. A signed Sugar, not that this matters, but an Everlast glove. Like, this is legit. I saw it last night. It's very, very cool. So you come down tomorrow to GameWorks from 6 to 9, you beat me in NHL 19, and you're going to get a Sugar Ray Leonard boxing glove. But before you get all high and mighty and start thinking that you're going to be able to do that, I should mention I'm a Hutt player, a Hockey Ultimate Team player, and I'm somewhere hovering between 1,250, 1,700 in the world. And I do beat people in the top 500. So I'm just putting that out there. Bring your best game. And I hope they have PlayStation, because if we have to play on Xbox – Well, you might beat me. But okay, we're going to get back to Shaquille O'Neal. Nick, before we even got him, Shaq walks in the building. Angel actually saw what he rolled up in. Again, it was essentially a Shaq-mobile. What'd you say, baby blue ride? Bunch of GMC. Okay, a GMC baby blue ride sitting on 2010. I don't know what he was sitting on. It was Shaq. Shaq needs a big chariot to carry him around. So he comes in, and Shaq asks, do you have a break room? Well, yeah, we got a break room, Shaq. So I show him into the break room. He starts picking out the snacks in the break room, and I have this really weird moment where, I mean, I'm not trying, you know, I'm trying to be cool, and, you know, I mean, it's, we talked about it. I was in his fan club when I was 10 years old. Like, I've interviewed a lot of cool people, but I never reviewed Shaquille O'Neal before. So I'm sitting there talking to him. He's looking at the Nature's Valley, I don't know, granola bars. He's picking through what he wants, some donuts, some water. But, like, I turned to talk to him to tell him what we have, and I'm talking to his belly button. And I don't want to do the, like, look up, like, because he gets that all the time. Everyone, you know, treats him like he's in a zoo and, oh, look at Shaq. Like, that guy can't escape. We were talking about Bagel Man earlier in the week and how life sucks when you're sub 5 foot. I get that. Life also sucks when you're Shaquille O'Neal and you're 7'3" and every, like, you can't escape. There's no getting away. There's no, like, oh, is that Shaq? Or I wonder if that's Shaq. No, everyone knows that it's Shaq. So I didn't want to, like, look up at him and embarrass him. So I kind of just, I guess, like, talked to his belly button. It's all very weird.
This is the third time I've been around him. The first time was at the NBA All-Star game back in 2007 when I was actually a part of the media. More, I guess, I was supposed to be more dignified, which I was at different points. But
wait, was that the All-Star game that Beyonce and Jay-Z blew you off?
Yes, same, same. You know, it was All-Star weekend, so it's a whole day, a few days events. And so the days before the All-Star game, you know, they had player interviews, and I think this was at the Palms. Everybody was there. The biggest names were there at the time, the 2007 All-Star game.
Of course.
And, of course, Shaq was there. And when he walked into the room, like, all eyes went on Shaq. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're stars, and then they're superstars. And, of course, Shaq is a mega ultra superstar, so all eyes went on him. But then the guy comes and sits down, and you saw it with me yesterday. I'm sure you can put up the picture on your Twitter here later. But when Shaq sits down, he's as big as everybody is still.
Yeah.
So he's sitting down, and we're all, you know, just a pool of reporters, and we're all asking. So that was, like, my first experience being with him. The second time, as you mentioned, he's, like, used to probably being looked at and stuff like that, and sticking out like a sore thumb. And this was after, I believe it was the Cormier fight.
Okay.
Or it was one of the only,
like,
UFC.
Like Cormier Jones, something
like
that?
Yeah, I believe it was one of the only UFC events I've been able to attend. And he happened to be there in, like, this area where it was for, I don't think I was media at the time, but I forget. It wasn't the general population area, right? And but you could see him hiding, like, behind a big pillar.
How'd that work out for him?
It somewhat did. I don't think that many people saw him because he was hiding behind there.
That's what Shaq has to do. He just has to find, like, the biggest inanimate object wherever he's at, and, like, kind
of,
like.
That's how much of a star he is that in a room of stars, he makes everybody else at him.
100%. And Nick, you can attest to this. As soon as he showed up yesterday at the station at 3 o'clock,
oh, God.
That place shut down.
People are Google Gaga.
I mean, every corner you turned, every, you know, new area of the office that you went into.
From the rock stations to the Spanish stations to, from under the rocks in the front of the building.
And listen, I'm not dragging them. I'm not making fun of them. I get it. You were just talking about how you were at All-Star Weekend and you were in a room surrounded by All-Stars. The same thing happens. Shaquille O'Neal walks into any room in the world. I don't care if it's Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey and Leonardo DiCaprio and Mother Teresa. I know she's dead. I don't care. They're all in there. They're all going to be talking about Shaquille O'Neal because that is the type of person he is. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. It was a treat for us to bring it to you. It was unexpected. Like I said yesterday, I didn't want to tease it and then not get it. It was very touch and go. Like I said, he gave us an ultimatum. 5 minutes because he's got a flight to catch, and he gave us 17. So Shaquille O'Neal, man.
And if you missed the full interview, will be posted up on LVSportsNetwork.com after the show, and obviously we'll have different snippets here and there on social media. I'm sure I'll be making promos out of this for quite some time. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, when you get somebody as of this level, you bleed it. You milk that booby.
Absolutely. And listen, we have a lot of great guests that come across here on the Mac Attack, but even they, I think, would admit Shaquille O'Neal stands and a level and,
dude,
a stature above everyone else.
I mean, we just had Francis Ngannou. I mean, he is a beast of a man.
Dude, Shaq is like two Francises, and I'm not even kidding. Like, it's pretty close, is it not?
I said this off the air yesterday when we were, I think, waiting for the interview. It was after, but I was saying how he might not have a whole lot of fighting skill, Shaq, that is, right? But if you just automatically said, okay, you and Francis are fighting, that could be a darn good matchup.
Oh, it would have certainly been a good match. Okay, so let's say this. Let's say it's 28, Shaq's 28, and basketball isn't what it is, and there's a ton of money to be made in MMA. And let's say he's been training for like 5 or 6 years, because, listen, Shaq does have a background in karate. It's not just Shaq Fu. Like, the dude can throw a little bit. Like, he's got some real skill, you know, inside there. He would have been really good in mixed martial arts. Now, I don't know how he would have been in terms of takedowns and stuff, and there's also the problem of the heavyweight limit of 265 pounds. So for Shaq to be able to fight, you know what I mean, in the UFC, they would have had to make a super heavyweight division for him.
There's no way he would have been able to cut that kind of weight.
Yeah, no, he would have never been able to make 265, but I'm with you, man. Francis Ngannou versus Shaquille O'Neal, sign me up. And, yeah, what a gigantic human being. Oh, we had Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, Olympian. World's strongest man was in the studio, I want to say, like 6-7 weeks ago. And Shaq is two Mark Henrys. And if you stood next to Mark Henry or had any experiences or seen him on television, I'm not kidding. Shaq is gigantic. I almost feel for him. I feel about Shaq, which, I mean, I don't feel that bad for him. He's got like $200 million and owns like 100 different businesses, and he's got his big chicken. And
he's probably got $200 million in just one account.
Right? So I don't feel that bad for him. But at the same time, I mean, you'd pretty much have to pay me $200 million to be happy about being 7'3" and being the size and the look that Shaquille O'Neal is, because that is a huge man, and what a nice man. Not only did he give us this interview and spend this time, but he went around and signed balls that were going to be given away throughout the year at LV Sports Network. We got Shaq autographs. He took pictures with all the staff. Just a really great guy. So tip of the cap to you, Shaquille O'Neal. All right, when we come back live from the Thomas and Mac out here for Summer League on 920 The Game, this is the Mac Attack. We got plenty of more good stories for you. It's a story that we didn't get to yesterday that we're going to follow up on today. Mike Vrabel saying he would chop off a certain body part for a Super Bowl. I'm going to throw that question to Nick. What would you chop off for a championship? Coming back here on the Mac Attack. Turn it up. Let's go. That's right. Cruel summer out here in Las Vegas. Just checking the temperature. Angel. 108? 108, man? Stay cool out there, Las Vegas. Man, Angel, you're a local. You lived here your whole life. We were talking before the show. You can't even handle it. You're out? Angel says I'm out. Nick, how you doing over there? You staying nice and cool?
You know me. I had to bring a hoodie because the studio gets cold at times.
Well, all right.
I hate being cold.
Yeah. Well, it is a weird flex, but okay, as Angel said. Oh, man, we're back here on the Mac Attack. Bananarama lead us in. Such a cruel, cruel summer. It is my promise to you. This will be a rejoin on this show every single day that it is over 105 degrees. So that's something to look forward to. Cruel summer.
We need to get some sort of sponsorship for this.
I agree.
I guess I'll have to get on that because I need to get paid.
I mean, it's a great song. Maybe someone will just want to sponsor the song and the appreciation that we're actually bringing that back around. Oh, man. Is that Ben Gordon? Pretty sure that was Ben Gordon. Shout out Ben Gordon. Baby Bulls. That's what's up. That's one thing about Summer League out here, man. If you're a basketball fan, you can come and watch the games, but you can also hang out in the concourse. And concourse, if I could speak.
The concourse.
Yeah, I went all for Chicago there. Talking
you never
about
know
that.
What you're going to see.
Yeah, there Ben Gordon walks by, and I'm like, yeah, that's Ben Gordon. Oh, my God. I remember when he used to play for the Chicago Bulls.
He used to play for the Bulls.
Oh, God. All right. So I appreciate you all still stuck around for listening after Shaquille O'Neal as we do our bad Chicago accents here. So yesterday, Nick, we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, by the way, for because you do this. And it's not your fault. It's just because, you know, it's only an hour show. We've talked about this. Topics that, you know, you want to hit on one segment in one day. It just gets washed off. So I'm glad we are bringing this topic back today.
Yes, it is a good topic, and I don't think we gave it near enough the attention that it deserved yesterday. Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Tennessee Titans, was on a podcast with some of his buddies, very loose, free-flowing podcast, and he was essentially asked, would you chop off your Johnson to win a Super Bowl? And Mike Vrabel said probably. Okay, Mike, here's the issue with Mike Vrabel. He has Super Bowls as a player, right? Like, you actually won. So that's not to say coaches don't actually win Super Bowls. Coaches win Super Bowls. But, Nick, I would have to imagine that if I already had titles as a player, the last thing I would do was chop off a digit, or in this case,
the main digit.
The digit. To win a title when I've already won one as a player, not one, but multiple.
That makes zero sense.
Right.
I mean, start with one of the boys, the supporting cast here, not the main guy. Come on.
Don't go for Leo. Go for Jonah Hill.
Seriously, go for the walnut, the peanut. Don't go for the main steak, not the tube steak.
You know, I hear this and I really just – I feel like it's Mike Vrabel trying to tell the Tennessee Titans, like, hey, I care.
Right?
You found your guy.
There's don't, no please, more commitment.
Please don't fire me.
You don't have any more commitments than this guy right here. Who's got two thumbs and no Johnson? This guy.
Yeah, now I want it, like, when his head is on the chopping block, no pun intended. I really want to see, like, when push comes to shove, if he would actually do that. Like, I want ownership to go to Mike Vrabel after he has a sub-500 season.
All right,
and
Mike.
All right, Mike. Like, it's not a Super Bowl, but would you like to keep your job? Yes. Okay, then. Put it on the table.
I got it. All right, here,
let's
Mike.
Go.
Here, Mike.
Lay it all out.
We can either pay you $10 million and you have no Johnson, or you work for free.
Yeah.
Or however that would work. I don't know. But, very severe. I mean, me personally.
I'm always keeping my Johnson, Nick, especially if I have Super Bowls as a player.
That's never going to happen, exactly.
Yeah.
I have three boys, so by all means, take one of my supporting cast members.
Yeah.
But, no, the main actor is definitely here to stay. The spotlight will always be on him.
And I also want to say this. I wouldn't chop my Johnson off for anything. I wouldn't do it for Jeff Bezos' money. Actually, that's not true. I might have overstepped.
But if you had Jeff Bezos' money, then you could have, like, any woman you want, all the women you want, like, one time.
But, Nick, if you have all the money and no...
Exactly. That's my point.
Right. There's no... I would rather be...
Broke.
Well, yeah.
And have it than
100%.
Not. 100%. Exactly.
Very confusing. But, hey, that's what happens. You know, hashtag stick to sports. We tried to, and then Mike Vrabel comes out talking about...
Stick to sports.
Yeah, he's going to come out and start talking about chopping off his Johnson. Speaking of stupid people saying stupid things, a bunch of Las Vegans and, well, not, I just don't think it's Las Vegans. It's just Americans in general. They've started a petition to storm the military outpost just a few feet down there out in the desert. Okay, a little more than a few feet, but you know what I'm talking about. 300,000 people have signed a petition, Nick, on Facebook to storm and raid Area 51 in a quest to, quote, see them aliens.
If I'm not mistaken, it's up to like 400,000 now.
Of course it is. Now I understand that, what, probably 300,000 of those people are clout chasing, just looking to say, hey, I was a part of this. Ha ha ha, very funny.
What kind of military strategy do you think they would have, though? I mean, don't group up in one big bunch because, hello, just one big bunker buster bomb and you're all gone. So y'all are going to have to attack from one flank, the other flank, and then straight up the middle.
Well, this actually, you know, this does bring me to an interesting thought. I mean, I don't think they'd do anything. People have been saying, like, yeah, go ahead and try it. You're all going to get killed. I mean, they can't kill 400,000 people.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
They can't kill anyone. I mean,
But I'm saying if they were in one big group, one big mass huddle, they could. Just, you know, they have, like, the vaporizer bomb. Like,
right.
They want 400,000 people.
Well, what I'm saying is you can't kill that many people. It's just really bad PR. Especially when you know some of them are just stupid. What, are you going to kill 400,000 stupid people?
But if it's in a way that there is no evidence or nothing left.
Men in Black style?
That's what I'm saying. So that's why you can't be in one big huddle. So maybe you guys like got to spread all around the border. Just like hold hands, 487,000 people
maybe
around the border and just work your way closing in on it.
I got to be honest, Nick. These people don't strike me as what I would call thinkers. You know, they don't practice as once great President George W. said, they don't practice strategery.
You know, it's strategery. That is a great word. One of my all-time favorites. They don't have a lot of things to do because it's summertime. I mean, think about it. You know, parents
cruel,
have a lot
cruel
less.
Summer.
Yes, parents have a lot less time or have more time on their hands right now because their kids are off. They're taking vacations. They're probably like, oh, my God, I'd rather get shot by the military than have to deal with my kids one more day.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably some truth to that. Hey, I want to jump back to a story that we also talked about yesterday. I know we said we're going to hit on Vrabel. We hit this 51 story. But remember that story yesterday about Josh Norman going to Pamplona to jump over the Bulls? I had a buddy hit me up, And he was a former corner in college. He played against Jeff Samardzija in high school. Like, he's a good athlete. Sammy Penrod, he's a high school coach out in Avon in Indiana. Grew up with the guy. I love him. He hit me up this morning. He's a fan of the show. He was listening. He was like, man, he's like, you were way too hard on Josh Norman. He said, I hate your point on jumping over bulls. You got to do it when you can.
Ah, see?
That's the gamble and the rush. Players don't like to feel like slaves either. You only live once, and jumping that high in your later years is not always an option after playing in the NFL.
Didn't I say that?
You did.
Thank you. I called it. I said that same thing. It's like, dude, he wants to live his life. He's made millions of dollars. If he gets injured, he's good.
Man.
We got 40 seconds.
I guess.
But what, dude,
I mean, hey.
Well, you're not gonna like I heard other people talking about it, like some old man, Mark Malone or whatever, on NBC. He said, I wouldn't do that. Of course, I can't jump that high.
Yeah, you can't do it.
At 30. But
easy
no,
to
for
say.
Real, like, that's why you do it while you're still Josh Norman in your prime.
There you go. All right, Nick, nice. Thank you for a great show. Thanks for chopping up all that great stuff.
Yes, sir.
With Shaquille O'Neal. And
20.
Yes. And yes. Thanks to Shaquille O'Neal for being a guest on this show. Truly one of the highlights of my career, and what a great man. And
where can they find the full interview?
Really generous with his time. And that's right, Nick. You can find the full interview if you missed any of it. LVSportsNetwork.com. It will be up immediately after
the
show.
All right, we got to go.
We'll see you on Monday.
Hoping I don't let it get all in my head. Now I need the money just to say that I'm rich.